Welcome to Greystone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for coming and for worshiping with us. If you're a guest with us this morning, in the pews there are some blue little notepads. They're called friendship registers. And so all of our church members are going to be passing those up and down the aisle and filling them in. We hope that you'll get a chance to look at some of the names on that list and introduce yourself to folks who maybe you don't know so well or have trouble putting a name with a face. But please do pass those friendship registers. Inside each friendship register is a connection card. So if you're a guest with us this morning, I hope that you'll take that card and share some information about yourself with us so that we can get information to you about Greystone. Also, on the back of that card, there is a place for prayer requests. So if there's a prayer request need that you would like to share with the staff and with the church, take that card, fill it out, put it in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. It is my joy this morning to welcome Dr. Barry Jones to our worship service. He is our guest proclaimer. Dr. Jones, a native of North Carolina, a professor at Campbell Divinity School, is with us this morning. What a delight. What an honor it is to receive him and to be able to hear from him. We're grateful for you this morning, Dr. Jones. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. At the end of the service, we will do a little quiz about which Barry is it. So Barry Jones, Barry Howard. We got a lot of Barrys. But Dr. Howard is in Florida this weekend, spending some time with his family. And so it is a wonderful opportunity for us to hear from Dr. Jones. As we continue in worship, let us think, what is it that the Lord requires of us this morning and in this week and in this time?
I hope you'll join me in entering in praise and thanksgiving, and in a moment we'll sing, allowing us to give our voice, even our collective voice, to that. But before we do that, I want to speak the words of this psalm, and I hope you'll help me hear Psalm 33. Verse 20 through 22, would you speak the bold print this morning? Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and shield. Our hearts are glad because we trust in God's holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Our prayer as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
You may find your seat. Thank you.
Good morning. When I got back from vacation and looked to see what we were going to do in worship this morning, I got really excited because I saw that the scripture that I'm going to read in just a little bit is one of my very favorite scriptures. And I know that Walker and Jamie have heard it before because they came to Friends Camp and Walker went to Passport. It's from Micah 6:8 that says, "What does the Lord require of me but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God?" That's right. I'm so glad that you remember it. And some of y'all know that is one of my absolute favorite scriptures in the Bible. But does anybody know why? No? I don't think I've told you that story. When I felt like God wanted me to go to seminary, that's kind of like preacher school. When God wanted me to go there, and I was thinking about, that, then I went and I told my church where I grew up and where I was in the youth group and where I went to church when I came home and visited from college. And I went and told my church and my pastor, Pastor Jack, over at Zebulun Baptist, and I said, "I really think that God wants me to go to seminary, and I think I'm ready to say yes and go." And Jack said, "You know what? I think that's a very good thing, and I want our church to tell you that we agree with you, and we think that you should go to seminary, and we think that you would be a good minister, and we want to show you how much we love you, and we want to pray for you. So we want to have a special service at our church called a licensing service," and they wanted to tell me how much they were going to love me and support me while I was in school. And at that service, Pastor Jack did two things. He read this scripture, and he told a joke. Do y'all want to hear the joke? Yeah. He told me about two people who had just gotten into heaven. It was a preacher and a taxi cab driver. And when they got to the pearly gates of heaven, then Peter welcomed the taxi cab driver, and he said, "Come on in, we've been waiting for you." And he gave him a beautiful silky robe, and he gave him a golden staff and a gold halo. Everything was so fancy, and he said, "Come on in." And when the preacher got there, they just handed him a plain old robe and said, "Come on in." Sounds a little bit backwards sometimes, doesn't it? Well, I wondered why. And Peter looked at the taxi cab driver and he said, "You know what? When you drove, people prayed. And when you preached, people slept." So I will always remember that joke. It was funny to me and helped me understand that there are lots of important jobs in our world. And then he read this scripture for me and he said, "You know what? What's really important is God wants you to do three things." Okay, hold up, three fingers for me. God wants you to be fair, and God wants you to love kindness, to be kind, and God wants you to walk with God. So three things. Be fair. Okay, so what does that mean? Do something beneficial for somebody else, right? And God said, be kind. Do we only have to be kind to the people that we like? No, we should be kind to everyone, right? Even homeless people, you're right. And God said, walk with God. What does that mean? We should follow God's lead. That's exactly right. So those are the three things that God really wants from us, is to be fair, to be kind, and to walk with God. And those are things that I will always remember. And it was kind of like Pastor Jack was giving me a gift and reminding me that this is what God wanted from me when I went to seminary and when I lived my life. No matter what I did, God wanted me to do those three things. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for being with us always. Please help us remember to always be fair, to always be kind, and to walk with you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hear these words from Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God has taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. Let us pray. O loving and ever-present God, you who breathe life into the dust, that we may have life and life in abundance, hear us as we pray. Lord, these words often fall harshly on our hearts. For we read and we hear faith, the assurance of what is hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You see, Lord, we claim to have faith. We say the right things. We go to church for worship on Sunday mornings. We believe in God. But how can we ever really be assured of what it is that we hope for? How can we really be convicted of things that are not seen? It's so easy for us to resonate with the disciple Thomas, who needed to see the holes in Jesus' side and the scars on his hands. Lord, we admit and we confess that we often need something tangible, that we often grasp to things that we can see, things that we know to be real in our lives. Even this morning as we worship, we are aware that the praise of a Sunday morning will turn into the routine of a Monday, as we prepare to enter back into school where our faith in God is quickly overwhelmed by our faith that it is good grades in our academics or achievement in many of our extracurricular activities that is real, things that are seen, things that we start to put our hope in. Or when our faith in God is overwhelmed by the workplace, by the many and various ways in which our attention is on those things that we can touch, the results of success in our work, the accomplishments that go with that success, what we think is what we want in terms of the things that we own, the things that we have, the ways that we spend our time. Lord, we confess that because those things are so tangible, because those are the things that are seen, those often become the things that we have faith in. So, Holy Spirit, we do pray this morning for the assurance of what is hoped for the conviction of things not seen. And we pray, we offer that prayer to the one who is faithful, a God who continues to look at us and say, "You are my people, and I am your God." No matter how often our attention might be on other things and our faith might waver, may we find comfort in knowing that faith is less about the events of the future. Instead, may faith be more about a trust that you are with us in all things, that we are loved, and that your grace and mercy and unconditional love for us is enough. For as we do so, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, wondering how it is that he could love us, individuals who are often unfaithful. How marvelous, though, and how wonderful is our Savior's love. For it is in the name of this Savior, Jesus, who was and still is the Christ child, that we pray. Amen.
This morning, I hope you'll join me in singing a hymn that has rooted our faith over the years. "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." We sing about this story that reminds us of the unwavering love of God that grows our faith, inspires our faith along this journey. I'm going to ask that on the second stanza, the ladies would sing, guys would join on the refrain, and then on the third stanza, the guys would sing, and the ladies would join them on the refrain. I'll remind you even as we sing and we stand together. Let's do that now. "I stand amazed in the presence.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
Ladies, your turn. Let's sing together. He took my sins.
He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone.
So we all sing.
Please pray with me. Lord, you have blessed us with your love and goodness. In giving, we express our love for you and respond to your generosity to us. Help us to live in steadfast faith, which is to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. We offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts and in joyous praise. May this offering extend the work of your kingdom in your church and your community and into the world you have made. Amen.
From the 6th chapter of Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's a great blessing for me to be able to worship with you today. I'm grateful to your pastor in the interim, Barry Power, for allowing me to be the Barry who preaches this morning and to be in this beautiful sanctuary to get to meet your dedicated ministers. I'm grateful to be with you today. I want to share today about the topic of universal instructions. I have a special appreciation for people who are able to give clear instructions. As a professor, I write instructions for my students all the time. And I'm always surprised of the difference between how I understand my instructions and how my students understand my instructions. It's a challenging thing to write clear instructions that everyone can understand. Sometimes the instructions are too simple. I have a sunscreen in my car that protects the dashboard from the sun, and it came with instructions. It says, remove this windshield screen before operating this car. Well, thanks for that. Sometimes the instructions just aren't thought through very carefully. There was an over-the-counter medication that had these instructions on the bottle. It said, if you cannot read well enough to read these instructions, do not take this medication. Well, how does that help? Sometimes it's not the person giving the instructions, but the person receiving the instructions. When our children were small, we enjoyed reading the Amelia Bedelia books. Do you remember Amelia Bedelia? Amelia Bedelia was the housekeeper who took every instruction very literally. Amelia Bedelia, at 10 o'clock, put the baby down for a nap. And so Amelia Bedelia, at 10 o'clock, put the baby down and took a nap, and the baby crawled away. Sometimes it's the person who receives the instructions. It's a challenge to write clear instructions. But our scripture today offers us universal instructions, and not about just any topic, but about the topic of faith. How challenging is it to give instructions about matters of faith and religion? This is why religion is one topic that we are very shy about discussing in public. We've all received so many different instructions. Yet this scripture from Micah chapter 6 offers us instructions about how we can enter into the presence of God. In chapter 6, verse 6, we of the prophet Micah, we are given a question that has been called the ultimate religious question. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? How can we, mortal human beings, enter into the presence of the true and living God of all creation? Now, for some people, this is not a problem at all. Some people have the gift of simple faith, which allows them to relate to God naturally. My grandmother was that way. She grew up on a farm, and she had a milk cow. And twice a day, on her milk stool, was her prayer time. She had four sons who were sent off into war in World War II. And my mother tells me she still remembers hearing her mother praying for her sons while she was milking the cow. What a wonderful gift of simple faith. For others, though, it's more complicated. The scripture in Micah chapter 6 shows us just how challenging it can be to discern how to relate to God. In this scripture, a person representing the people of Israel asked the question, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? The question contains wonderful intentions to draw near the presence of God. And yet the question also contains a hint of confusion. by asking, with what shall I come before the Lord our God? The question assumes that we cannot come to God empty-handed. We have to bring something with us. The person asking this question assumes that there must be some gift, some sacrifice. Once they're down that path of assuming a sacrifice is needed, then the question becomes, what sacrifice? Is it a whole burnt offering? A total sacrifice of your gift with nothing left over? Is it the quantity of the sacrifice? Would God be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? If it's not the quantity, could it be the quality? Now that we're off on this path of what gift is required, the person asking this question asks, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? What a horrifying question. Yet it illustrates how easily we can become confused when we try to answer the question, how can we draw near to God? We need more than good intentions. We need clear instructions. The good news is we are given just such instructions in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. These instructions are so clear that they answer the five essential questions that people tell us we need to know in order to understand a subject completely. The questions are who, when, what, where, and why. Who do these instructions apply to? They apply to everyone. They are universal instructions. Verse 8 reads, God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? The word, O mortal, is the word used in the Bible to refer to every single person. These instructions are for everyone. When? When did God give these instructions? When did God tell us what is required of us? The answer is, God gave these instructions to the people of Israel. And we read about them in the story of the Old Testament. Just prior to verse 6 in Micah chapter 6, we have a summary of the Exodus story. God rescued and redeemed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And God led them through the wilderness and led them into the promised land, giving them God's commandments so that they would know who God is and what is God's will. God tells us who God is and what God desires of us through the story of what God has done for the people of Israel. The central question, however, is what is it? What is it that God requires? Thankfully, it's not a list of 100 instructions. There are only 3. And these 3 instructions only require 10 words to explain. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. 10 words, and three instructions. To do justice. What does that mean? The entire history of philosophy has been written to try to explain the answer to that question. But remember, God has told us in the story of the Old Testament and in what God has done to the people of Israel. What does it mean for God to do justice? When the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt and they cried out to God under their oppression, God heard their prayer and God delivered them from the power of the people who were mistreating them. To do justice, as God does justice, is to hear the cries of those who are being taken advantage of and mistreated, and to respond in the right way. To give our voice to people who are suffering without a voice. The words in the Bible that are most commonly associated with these words to do justice are the words widows, orphans, the stranger, the poor, the needy, the refugee, the lowly. Or, to simplify things, as one of my teachers once told me, if you see 10 people carrying a log, and 9 are on one end of the log and one person's on the other end, which end of the log will you join in? You may say, yes, but the world doesn't work that way. The world operates by everyone looking out for themselves and by the golden rule. That is, those who have all the gold make all the rules. But that was not the question. The question is not how to be like the world. The question is how to draw closer to God. And God does justice. If we want to draw near to God, then Micah tells us, do justice. But justice alone is not enough. God also tells us we should love kindness. I like the King James translation of this verse. Love mercy. God is not only a God of justice. God is always a God of mercy. If God were only a God of justice, then what chance would we possibly have? As Psalm 130 reminds us, if you, O Lord, were to keep a record of our wrongs, who could ever stand before you? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. Justice alone is not enough. God always combines justice with mercy. Each of us here today is kept alive by our heartbeat. Our heart muscle contracts and expands. It's a double beat. In the same way, justice and mercy are the double beat of God's heart. God is a God of both justice and mercy. The trouble with trying to do justice is that whenever we try to do justice, we find that it's hard. It's hard to know what to do, and it's hard to do. And so when we try to do justice, we learn that we need mercy. And so knowing that we need mercy for ourselves reminds us we must be ready to give mercy to others. What does God require? To do justice and to love mercy. Where are we to do this? Everywhere. If what God required was a sacrifice, then we could only fulfill that requirement in a sanctuary or on an altar. But since God's requirement is to do justice and to love mercy, we can do these things everywhere we go and with everyone we meet. Why are we to do justice and mercy? Because that is what God does. If we want to draw near to God, what better way than to find ourselves doing the things that God is doing? Who, when, what, where, and why? Universal instructions. But there's one more question that this scripture answers. How? How can we, as fallible and fallen as we are, possibly do what God requires of us? Micah 6, chapter 8 gives us that answer also. It tells us to walk humbly with your God. These words are not so much what we are to do as how we are to do what God requires. If you've ever been asked to give directions, you know that there are two ways to give directions. One is the turn-by-turn method. This is the way our GPS devices give us directions. Go so far, turn right or turn left. But there's another way to give directions, and it's the best way. That's when you ask someone for directions, and they say to you, "I know where that is. Come with me. I will take you there." That's the way God gives us directions. God helps us to do what God requires by sending Jesus Christ to show us and to teach us. It is by following Jesus Christ day by day that we learn how to draw near to God and how to do what God requires of us. Doing justice and loving mercy are not so much works that we accomplish as gifts that God gives us as we follow Jesus Christ. The good news for us is that what God requires of us, God also provides for us through our faith in Jesus Christ and our willingness to follow Christ day by day. And so, each morning, when we're ready to go forth into our day and we begin to put our shoes on, when we put our right shoe on, let us remember to pray, "God, help me to do justice today." And when we put our left shoe on, let us pray, "God, help me to love mercy today." And then when our shoes are on and we're ready to go into the day, let us pray, "God, help me to walk humbly with you today so that I can draw near to you and fulfill all that you require of me." What God requires, God also provides. Thanks be to God. Amen.
There is a divine pull toward justice and mercy, and we can work against that energy or we can give ourselves to that, but there are commitments to be made. It doesn't happen just by sitting in a worship service. So I hope that the Spirit has been prodding you even as we worship this morning, but it's certainly the beginning of this week's journey toward being a part of God's kingdom work. So as we stand and sing, would you consider the commitments you need to make? And Amanda's standing up front here to receive you if there's anything you'd like to share, a prayer request or a commitment, and she will welcome you this morning. Let us stand as we sing.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
So as you leave this place today, know that there are things for you to do, like go and find me a good dessert because we're having a pool party this afternoon and I need something sweet. So I do hope you will join us for our pool party this afternoon. You find those details in your bulletin. If the weather gets sketchy, check the church Facebook page. We'll post updates about the party, its cancellation, if it has to be canceled, on the church Facebook page. Also, you'll find other events. Heritage Sunday is coming up. The youth are going to Adventure Landing. Wednesday nights will be starting. Sign up for Friends Retreat. But next week is our all committees and teams meeting, and that is super awesome, and I hope that you will come and be a part of that. But it's also Promotion Sunday. And so we are going to celebrate Promotion Sunday a little differently this year. We're asking everybody to get involved. We will give Bibles to our rising sixth graders and our rising kindergartners, but we want you to come in your school colors. So I want to see all the angels dressed down in the burgundy, and then I also want to see the purple and the gold. I think I personally am going to wear the colors of Oakwood Junior High School. Go Eagles. But do come and dress in your colors or your t-shirts or your sweatshirts. Let's use this as a fellowship event and also a way to support our teachers and our students as they begin their studies again this year. So next week, tailgate Sunday. Let's just do it, all right? It is good to worship with you today. And I think as you go, right foot, left foot, let's walk humbly with God.
Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm.
As we depart to serve God, let us go with this blessing. May the grace of God, deeper than our imagination, the strength of Christ, stronger than our need, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, richer than our togetherness, guide and sustain us in our today and in all our tomorrows. Amen.